Well, in last session, we were talking about the Apostle Peter. We've gone through and talked about the conversion of the Apostle Paul and what he said about baptism. And now we're talking about the Apostle Peter and what he is teaching us about baptism and how, well, actually what the message was that was being preached in the early New Testament church in the book of Acts and how people were responding to it. And it's not at all really the way that we see church today. I mean, it's really not. Just read the book of Acts, you know, be like the Bereans, read, study, and then check me out. Okay. What did the apostles preach in the book of Acts and how did people respond to the salvation message? It's very simple. Read the book of Acts. Now, you might have a real hard time because you've got your religious glasses on, okay? Your religious glasses. I was talking to a woman on the street that's, you know, goes to a mega church here in town, and I just asked her, I said, how would you accept Christ? What do they say? The message of salvation, what do they say in your church? What do you preach, and how do you get saved? And she said, well, you know, ask Jesus in your heart, things like that. I said, well, can you show me in the Bible a verse where someone has done that or is doing that? And her countenance turned real bad. And she said, you can leave now. She was very upset with me. Because we have these religious glasses on. And we've been told by our pastors, we've been told by our leadership and in our churches that this is the way salvation works and this is what you do to bring somebody to salvation. And, you know, in spite of all of that, people do get saved because it is a heart issue. You know, it is really a heart issue. It's not a formula. If you look at the message of Jesus and how he brought the people to himself, you know, he never said exactly the same thing, but he still had those elements, the elements of repentance, the elements of faith. And Jesus' disciples baptized, but there was not a baptism into Jesus because that could not take place until Jesus died for our sins and was buried and rose again. And then the response comes, and be baptized into his death, be buried and raised up and put on Christ. You know, people say, well, the thief on the cross, he was not baptized. Okay, you got your religious glasses on? The thief of the cross was not baptized, so we don't have to be baptized. You know why the thief on the cross was not baptized? Because he was being hanging on the cross with Jesus. Jesus hadn't died. He couldn't be baptized into Jesus' death. Jesus hadn't died. And neither could anyone else before that moment. But now we're talking about, hey, what are we talking about? We're talking about after the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. And God, or Jesus, has sent the Holy Spirit down to the earth. And how are people going to respond to this message of salvation? How are they going to accept the rule and reign of God? They're going to repent, like Jesus said. They're going to put faith in him. And then they're going to be baptized, for in that act of baptism, there is a spiritual circumcision. The body of sins are destroyed, and we come under a new servitude to Christ in that act of faith. You know, people, oh, you're talking about works. You're talking about works. I've got to go be baptized. That works, works, works. Did you know there's no place in the entire Bible where the Bible says water baptism is works? It is a work. It's an operation of God, faith, the operation of God in the spiritual circumcision. There is a work from God that takes place in that. But it is not a work of the law. You are not trying to earn your salvation. It's your faith in operation responding to the message of salvation. That's all it is. You've got to realize, so many people are confused on this point. Anything, they think anything that a person does is a work. So we sit in our churches, we do nothing, and we sit there all of our life like that. You know what I'm saying? Paul was against works of the law. The Mosaic system and all any of those practices or things that person would do to try to earn righteousness and earn their salvation, Paul was against. But he wasn't against works of faith and works of repentance. Those are works that proceed from faith, and those are works that proceed from repentance. And without that kind of work in your life, James says you have a dead, non-saving faith. I didn't say that. The Word of God says that. All right. So back here to, let me just read something to you. Well, let's just go back to Acts 2:38. It says this, Peter answered and said to these people that were convicted in their heart, he didn't tell them to say the sinner's prayer. He didn't say, repeat this prayer after me. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. He didn't ask them to do any of those things. He told them to repent. He told them, you with wicked hands crucified Christ. And you know what? We did that too because of our sin. And we need to repent. We need to turn from our sin, and we need to turn to God for this forgiveness and for this grace. You know, a person is saved by an act of grace. God has provided this. We're not saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. All right? We're saved by an act of grace, by what Jesus provided at the cross. That's the grace of God. It's a perfect work to forgive our sins and give us a right standing with God. But we're saved by grace through faith. And the faith that the Bible calls for is a faith that follows Jesus. The faith that the Bible calls for is a faith that turns from sin. The faith that Jesus calls for is a faith that keeps his commandments and does his will. You know, it says, and I'll talk about this in one of my other teachings, but in Matthew 7:21, not everyone, it just says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Oh, I said the prayer. I said, Lord. Not everybody says, Lord, will enter the kingdom. But he that doeth the will of my Father is in heaven. What is that talking about? Doing is something you do, isn't it? Well, that's your faith speaking. I know what people believe, and you know what I believe. How do you know that? By what I do. Okay? I'm not doing things to earn anything. But I'm doing a lot of things because I do believe. And when Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, to those that gladly receive the word, it says right here in Acts 2:41, they that gladly receive the apostles' word were baptized. They didn't argue. They'd say, no, I don't want to do that. I mean, I'll say a little prayer with you, but I have to go into waters of baptism. I don't have a change of clothes. I don't, you know, this and that and that. Well, whatever. They that gladly received the word followed the instructions of the apostles and got the results that the apostles and Jesus promised. You know what they got? They got the remission of their sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now look what it says here. Peter said unto these people that were convicted of their sins, what shall we do? And Peter, first of all, talked about repentance, and we talked about that yesterday. So repent, and then he says to be baptized, every one of you. There's no exception. There was no such thing as a follower of Jesus in the early church that wasn't baptized. Be baptized, every one of you, and every one of them were baptized into the person of Jesus Christ. That's what it means, into the name of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of you that are listening to me right now probably gone to Bible school and had some training and things like that, and you probably got, you probably have one of these. This is a Vines lexicon. A lexicon is a Greek dictionary, okay? It's a Greek dictionary, just like we go to American Heritage Dictionary or Webster's Dictionary. This is a Greek dictionary, and you can look up an English word, and it'll give you the Greek word and then the Greek meaning. And I want you to see what it says about baptism. It's amazing here. It says this in Vine's lexicon of the Greek. It says this. It says, Matthew 28, being baptized into the name, it says, would indicate that the baptized person was closely bound to or became the property of the one into whose name he was baptized. Do you see that? I think I said this on a teaching the other day, but a friend of ours, Dave Duwell, that had a kind of a powerful miracle ministry, you know, he was instrumental in bringing a witch to faith in Jesus. But did you know what all of the friends of the witch wanted to know? Well, did you baptize her yet? Did you baptize her yet? And Dave said, did we baptize? I don't think we baptized her. We need to go get her and get her baptized. Because the witches understood a lot of things that a lot of Christians don't understand. That when you're baptized into the name of the person that you're baptized into, you become bound and the property of the one into whom's name you're baptized. It was the cutting off point of the world. You know, for a Jew, it meant you're not even part of the family of the Jews anymore. I mean, you're dead as far as they're concerned. Once you were baptized into Jesus, I mean, it's over, you know? Once that step has been taken in repentance and faith, there's no going back. You're a follower of Jesus. So in Acts chapter 8, when the eunuch asked, there's water, why can't I be baptized? He says, if you believe with your whole heart, it's a wholehearted thing. And if it's a wholehearted thing for you to follow Jesus, then you may be baptized. But there is no turning back. I'm becoming the property of and bound to the person that I have been baptized into. That is Jesus Christ. Amazing, isn't it? Now look right here in Acts 2:38 again. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name. And it goes along exactly with what Paul said. You're being baptized into his death. You're coming up with a new life. You become the property of Christ. A spiritual circumcision has taken place. You put on Christ, it says in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. You're putting on Christ. Like Ananias said, why are you delaying? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Your sins is being remitted. Now, that's what it says here in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. I've heard people and teachers say they don't like that because it's not according to their religious glasses, their denominational box, the church they've been raised in. What do you mean for the remission of sins? You mean because your sins have been forgiven. And I've even heard supposedly very well teachers say, and that means because, not for the remission of sins, but because your sins have been remitted. No, it doesn't. You know what it means? It means for. How do I know that? Because there's not one translation in the world that translates it because. Every translation in English known to man says for the remission of your sin. The Greek word is eis. You pronounce it eis. And it means in view to the forgiveness of your sins. But if I have my religious glasses on, boy, I don't want to hear that. You know, I have a friend, and he was raised in a denominational church. And he sees what Acts 2:38 says, but he doesn't want to take it at face value. So what he does is he tries to change it by saying, this is for the remission of sins. It's not for the forgiveness of sins. Well, he's got his religious glasses on. Because when you look at the Bible for what the Bible's saying, when you look up the Greek words and really studied it out, under the word forgiveness and under the word remission, you have the same Greek word, apheiemi. It's the same Greek word. What does that mean? Peter was saying, you guys want your sins forgiven? You want your sins remitted? Send them away? You want to have this gift of righteousness? Then you must repent. You must be baptized, every one of you, into the name of Jesus Christ, into the person and work of Jesus Christ. Let's look over 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It tells us what the gospel is, and it says this. It says, moreover, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 3, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The gospel carries that central theme of Christ's death, of his burial, of his resurrection for our sins. And when a person repents and is baptized, they are baptized into his death, into his burial, into his resurrection. They are clothed then with Christ. They come under a new master of servitude to righteousness. And the old man with all of its evil deeds is destroyed. And we come under a new master of righteousness. We're not telling people that. And if there's demonic issues in people's life, those things have to leave. Why? Because Satan has lost his authority to stay any longer. We see many, many deliverances in the waters of baptism because Satan has lost his authority to stay. And I want you to notice that in Acts 2:38, you know, it also says that this promise, those that gladly received the word were baptized, about 3,000 souls that day, and God added to the church such as should be saved. This is part of the salvation of a call, and it's part of the salvation response. And I know that's hard to swallow, but think about what is being preached and how people respond to the gospel in the book of Acts, and you will come to the right conclusions. God bless you. We'll continue on this tomorrow. God bless you.